Amen. Let me sit to hear the first lesson read.
The first lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. You'll find it on page 952, top left-hand side of the page. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand to hear the gospel read. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach and goes out into the sewer?" And thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it's from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So as we stand, we pray. God, our Father, give us grace to receive your word, by your Holy Spirit, to embrace the living word among us and to be transformed by it to the glory of your name and for the building of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. Would you sit down, please? So Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, probably written from prison, like many of Paul's letters, written from experiences and moments in his life that would any other human being like me actually cause great anxiety. And from it, he writes these words to the church in Ephesus, "Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." What do you sing to yourself? What do you sing to yourself when you're not singing with us and for us on a Sunday? What do you sing to yourself? What's the recurring tune, the recurring song, the recurring psalm, the recurring hymn that kind of grinds itself and has ground itself into your consciousness, and that actually in a very strange way is transforming you and making you different? Let me be a bit more personal. What do you sing in the shower? What do you sing in the bath? Do you sing at all anywhere? Do you give thanks to God for everything anywhere, at any time? Here is Paul writing a very tough letter to some extraordinary people, in very sometimes dire and difficult circumstances in Ephesus. And Paul, from within those four stone walls of his cell, is asking the church in Ephesus just to give thanks to God. Just do it. Just sing. sing psalms, sing hymns, sing spiritual songs. And it just got me thinking about, David, what do you sing that you like? What do you not sing because you don't like it? This sermon arises from a conversation with David Wilson a little while ago about what we sing and how we sing and what we like singing and what we don't like singing as well. I think we are identified by what we don't like singing at all. It got me thinking about the hymns and the spiritual songs that really I do like. And there are lots of them. But there are also some that I don't like very much. Anything that smacks of Jesus, my boyfriend, I won't sing. I just don't sing it. I'll sing something else, but I won't sing that one or something like it. And there are others that I really do enjoy singing. And there's one hymn that is going to be sung at my funeral. There's one hymn that was sung at the last service of my incumbency in Clapham. And it really has ground itself into my heart and my life, because I think if truth be known, most of our theology, and we're all theologians, most of our theology and our thinking about God arises fundamentally, not just from the Bible, although that's crucial and important, but from the hymns that we sing. Hymns and songs and psalms that we sing and read do have that molding effect upon our lives, whether we know it or not, whether we're aware of it or not. So how about this? How about this? I had to put my glasses on. How about this? Henry Francis Light. You will not necessarily know his name, but you'll know his hymn. It's Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And that's a hymn that just thunders through my being day in, day out. There's hardly ever a day when I don't think or sing that hymn, because embedded in it is a verse that theologically is as sound and as personal as ever it will be. For he encourages us to sing, I am ransomed and healed, restored and forgiven. If I want anything written anywhere about me, it'll be that, nothing else, because it just sums up my life, really. Like hymns do sum up your life, if you let them, and spiritual songs and psalms, if you let them embed themselves, they become part of the very fabric of your being. So there are hymns that I love to sing. There are one or two I'm not so sure about. I'm not so sure about Praise to the Holiest in the Height. I mean, if it's your favourite hymn, please have an argument with me afterwards. You're very welcome to do that over a cup of coffee. Let's have what Mrs. Merton used to call a heated debate about it on the telly. Praise to the Holiest in the Height. Because Cardinal Newman has written, and if I ever have a sit-down with him, I'll have a talk about it sometime. And that a higher gift than grace. I'm not so sure there's a higher gift than grace, Cardinal Newman. I'm not sure there is a higher gift at all than grace that found me and saved me and loved me and came to me when I didn't deserve it. And that there is no higher gift than it. You see, I think that hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, if I could use a favourite gardener's turn of phrase, are our ground cover. I think that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are the ground cover that keep the unwanted stuff down, and just in themselves are a delight ground cover. I was given a plant by a very competent gardener in this congregation, which began to cover the ground in all sorts of ways I didn't expect it to, frankly. And I find myself actually beating it back now and again, but it's a beautiful plant, and it's actually lovely. And I do enjoy it, but I'm having to kind of train it as well. Ground cover in our spiritual lives, ground cover in your spiritual life, in mine, is very often what we read from the Bible and the hymns and the songs and the spiritual songs that we sing together. They keep back the stuff that is dark and unwanted. Because our lives are always being transformed by God's Holy Spirit, aren't they? My life is. It's hard work for God, I know. But actually, my life is all the time being transformed. It's been transformed by our worship together. Singing together transforms our lives. Does it transform yours? Do you think it should? Do you think it can? Do you think it will? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they transform us because they recover and they reshape and they replant new things in us, because they shape our theology, the way we think about God, the way we think about God's love and his action and his purpose for us. They rethink our practice, the way we practice being God's people together. Our psalms and hymns and our songs, they all reflect the way that we're called to be God's people together. And they shape our behavior. Unbidden sometimes, they reshape our behavior. I'm even capable of being surprising myself when I find "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven" coming out in all the most inappropriate times and places and events. But it does. It just bubbles up from deep down in me. For I know in my heart of hearts that I, perhaps together with you too, am ransomed and healed and restored and forgiven. And I thank God for it. And that spills over into singing that hymn just quietly to myself, or even singing it aloud, unfortunately, now and again. But that's another issue. So what is the place of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs? Someone's written that Paul doesn't see these hymns and songs as simply decorative. They're not a pleasant interlude in our worship. They're not kind of oral embroidery. They're not kind of shrubbery, if you want a gardening picture as well. They're none of that around Christian faith and practice. Singing, whether aloud or in your heart, was, Paul thought, an excellent way of actually practicing your faith. Did you think about that? I didn't think about that until I read those words. Singing is actually practicing your faith. Let's pray for the choir as they encourage us to sing and lead us in our worship. And if we could just go back to that gardening illustration. If you don't want your garden to grow weeds, one of the best ways is to keep it well stocked with strong, sturdy shrubs. So then psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are indeed our ground cover. They keep stuff at bay that would otherwise smudge and mar God's image in us and in other people. And if you don't want your heart and mind to go wandering off into the realms of darkness, to be overtaken and infiltrated by it, then one of the best ways to avoid rubbish cluttering your brainwaves is to keep it well stocked with wise and really thankful themes. So that words of real comfort and guidance and good judgment come bubbling up unbidden from our memory and our subconscious. You see, I think that singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are ways of transforming our minds and our thinking. Thinking about ourselves, our thinking about God. But we have to exercise discretion. And we have to exercise an understanding about what we're singing and why we're singing it. Some of us prefer the tunes to the words. Some of us prefer the words to the tunes. But actually the issue is, do the words themselves actually enhance and bless and grow your life? Do they grow your life? And does the music that we sing enable that to happen? So be careful, says Paul. Be careful how you live, Ephesians chapter 5. Not as unwise people, but as wise people. Don't be foolish. Don't get drunk with wine, that's debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we sit, so we pray. Thank you, Father, for the gift of praise. Thank you, Father, for the gift of song. Thank you for psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we pray, Father, that as we hear them sung or sing them ourselves, so you would grow us into your likeness, that we may reproduce in our lives your glory and your purpose and your meaning for our lives and for the life of the world. To the glory of your name and for the building of your kingdom, we pray. Amen.